cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, our next guest and her team are on a mission to centralize the role of women as economic, environmental, and social change makers who are creating a high-growth future. I'm thinking she has some thoughts on how, in what is, I think, safe to say, Mike Regan, still largely a man's world, how women can do it all better.
Not my house. I've got three teenage girls, a wife. It's me and the dog are the only males in the household. So everything's local. I'm drowning in a women's world myself.
You sound like,
and I wouldn't have it any other way, by the way.
You sound like my husband. Patience Marame-Ball is founder and CEO of Women of the World Endowment. It's a global endowment focused on gender. Lens Investing. She currently leads the fixed income business with a current portfolio of more than $3 billion. She's got a new book out too called The XX Edge, Unlocking Higher Returns and Lower Risk, the XX really representing the two chromosomes, noting the female gender. So we do want to bring her in. She joins us via Zoom from Martha's Vineyard. Patience, so great to have you here with Mike Regan and myself. And I feel like, first of all, welcome. And in a world where we're talking about strains on resources, why oh why do we continue to untap what is a great resource? And I'm talking about women specifically.
Fantastic. Carol and Mike, thank you very much for having me. This is an exciting time. The answer to that question is one that we work really hard to unknot in this book, The XX Edge, Unlocking Higher Returns and Lower Risk. Women are proximate to challenges, and so they should be proximate to solutions, driving those solutions that are going to get us out of a bunch of challenges that we're experiencing today, whether it's climate-related challenges, economic crisis, conflict, et cetera, right? And so it's a great question. I don't know that we have answers to that quite yet.
Well, and I want to follow because everyone knows who's listening and watching Bloomberg Business Week, Mike knows that there have been numerous studies, whether it's McKinsey and others, that just talk about the importance of diversity overall, but women specifically, whether it's on boards and senior positions, financial performances from funds, so, in terms of companies. So why is it, why do we not, when we know that things can be even just financially performance better, do we not embrace having more women involved?
Yeah, and Carol, the issue is actually more profound than you've just stated. So we know that 97.8% of capital is under management today is managed by men. Yet we also know that when you have gender diverse teams allocating capital or making any decision, you're 21% more likely to actually get outperformance in profitability. You're likely to mitigate downside risk better. You're likely to have your dollar doing more than one thing at any given time, because women prioritize, yes, making financial returns that are really important, but also the opportunity to drive for other types of changes. And so to your point, why do we not see change? I think that, to get to a point where we're talking about current, what has been happening in legislation currently, for instance, the Inflation Reduction Act. It's looking to solve inflationary problems that are leading to potential for recession, et cetera, but it's also looking to solve climate issues, mm-hmm. climate-related issues. And here we know that when women are in these decision-making rooms, whether it's C-suite positions or on boards, we actually get better outcomes all around. Companies have better policies and standards to adhere to. We have better disclosures. We have better tracking. And we also have better performance. So it is interesting that with the numbers telling us that it is, you are going to make more money. And your reference to a McKinsey report, they did a study in 2015, which showed that if we had every country in the study that they had of 95 countries, just doing better to improve gender diversity in decision-making, the world could actually have a $25 trillion gain to global GDP. And even their conservative studies pointed to a $12 trillion gain.
That's real money, Mike.
That is, yeah, I'll take that. But it's true, though. I think, you know, if you want to affect change in the world through the capital markets, you have to go hand in hand with, you know, positive change and something on the P&L statement, you know, good returns to back it up. And so the focus a lot of times, Patience, obviously goes to ESG. We're investing through a sort of environmental, social, and governance lens. I think what's kind of alarming this year is we've seen a big backlash to that from a lot of politicians, you know, the quote-unquote anti-woke type of politicians. Do you think it's leaving a mark on the industry? Is there any damage being done to the notion of ESG from all this backlash we've seen?
So unfortunately not. Well, unfortunately, yes. There is a backlash, and it is resulting in some you know, headwinds. But here's what I have to say. Nature, Mother Nature, is doing what it needs to do. We have fires in California, you know, floods in Australia, fires in Europe, etc. Nature is telling us that we need to do something. And ESG investing has a place, and it is a place that can be both financial and impact.
When cyber criminals strike, the difference between a catastrophic event and resilience is preparedness. Finance leaders who plan ahead can thwart the damage posed by ransomware. Yet in a recent EY poll, only 23% of directors expressed confidence in their organization's ability to respond to a ransomware attack. Cyber preparedness is just one facet of the complex risk landscape finance leaders face every day. Now more than ever, it's vital to keep ahead of developments. Cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Related.
All right, let's get back to our guest and continue our conversation. Still with us is Patience Marmal-Ball, founder and chief executive officer of the Women of the World Endowment. She's still with us via Zoom from Martha's Vineyard. So, Patience, one of the things I wonder is, you know, the role of women, like, what do we lose by not doing so and incorporating more women into our world in terms of growth, opportunity, political progress, climate change? I mean, it's amazing. These are the things we talk to on a daily basis with so many of our guests. So what are we losing by not bringing more women into the fold?
So this is a really good question, Carol. And you know, in the book that we just wrote, we looked at what it is that makes men and women different. They're not an equal unit of productivity. And what are those things that are different? And it is, one, the long view. Women tend to prioritize the long view over short-term gains. They tend to have collaborative leadership styles and tend to be more risk aware. And when it comes to the challenges that we're facing, they also tend to be more proximate to those challenges. And so that's an opportunity set that we're losing when we don't have them in decision-making rooms, because that ability to see around the corners is just as needed as the ability to, you know, to seek short-term gains. And what it leads to is really a loss in, you know, outperformance over time in terms of profitability, but also the ability to mitigate risk in a much more structured and thoughtful way.
You know, Patience, I was joking with Carol earlier, you know, when the notion of women leading in the future comes up, I have three daughters, so I say I'm on board completely. You know, my joke with them is always, I'll pay for your college as long as I get a room in your beach house one day. And I'm looking at you here on Zoom, and I got to say, you have a beautiful beach house up there in Martha's Vineyard. So if you had a few minutes to talk to my daughters, based on your 20 plus years, I believe, of experience in capital markets in a very competitive male-dominated field. I know my one daughter is thinking about majoring in finance and maybe getting into the industry. What's the secret to success for a woman, you know, especially one coming of age in this sort of crazy world we live in right now? How do you get there? How do you maintain and succeed and do it in the right way with a clear conscience?
Yeah. So, Mike, the first thing that I would actually say is a conversation with you, and then I would have a conversation with your daughters. And the conversation with you would go like this, that, you know, the way that you believe your daughters are rock stars at home, whether it's your wife, and the fact that you're very comfortable with the decisions being made by them and you following, you know, we need to have men taking that into the workplace. It is incredibly interesting how men are very comfortable with women taking over all kinds of things in one realm of their lives, but not as comfortable in another realm, and in the workplace, that is. And that's part of the opportunity that the world loses. You know that your daughter has all the traits that I just elaborated on. Long view, collaborative way of working, she's more risk aware, etc. Why would, you know, a business not want that in the room? And to your daughter, I would say that if she wants to come into financial markets, you know, I've been in it for more than 25 years, and, you know, I'm now in my 50s. The world is so much better today. And where we need to be in capital markets is to create spaces where we're not just ticking boxes. So we have this many women come in and we tick that box, but really be very intentional about what seats we're putting them in. And the case we make in our book, The XX Edge,
right,
is that when you put them in asset allocation seats, when you put them in those decision-making seats, you actually are going to have outperformance. And over time, greater economic pie for everybody. That's the magic that your daughter will bring to whatever company she ends up joining.
Patience, got to be quick, 25 seconds. Investment dollars always find their way to opportunity and payoff. If women are such great bets, why aren't more women in positions of power, managing money, running companies, et cetera? And forgive me, because we do only have about 20 seconds.
So Carol, when they do, we see outperformance, period, right? The 21% likelihood for better profitability that I talked about in the beginning.
Right.
So the question is, why are they not? I think it's because 97.8% of capital is being managed by men who have a specific worldview,
right,
and a specific lib journey. And I'm not blaming them. It's their lives. It's their lib journey. And so they'll allocate capital to the things that, you know, speak to them,
right,
based on their lib journeys. That's
all
why,
right,
we need to equalize or diversify those seats.
Come back soon and we'll talk more and continue. Patience Marama Ball, founder and CEO of Women of the World Endowment. Check out her new book as well.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.